So, yeah, we'll see. Bills are in New England playing the Patriots tonight. We'll see if the prince and princess show up and if Bill Belichick is welcoming tonight. You hear him every morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. here on TSN 1050. First up, here's our good buddy Carlo Colaiacovo joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How do you think Belichick would handle a meet and greet with William and Kate before the game tonight?
You guys have me cracking up after listening to that last conversation. I mean, he'd probably answer it the same monotone voice that he does his press conferences with, right? I mean, very boring, very stale. Probably wouldn't care one bit. He's there to coach football.
Yeah.
It's just Bill Belichick. But
he really would.
Funny story about celebrities in the stands, if you don't mind.
Yeah, what do you got?
Playing in Chicago with St. Louis, the Blues and Blackhawks are big rivals, and in between the benches there was Vince Vaughn one game.
Oh, he's big guy, too.
Oh,
6'5" or something.
Big,
yeah.
Big guy. And funniest thing ever, Ken Hitchcock was our coach, and we got scored on, and I don't remember who was on the ice. It wasn't me, and the guys are coming back to the bench, and Hitch is just reaming the two defensemen out. And he's like, come on, guys, what are you doing out there? You guys are blowing it for us. You got to play defense. And Vince Vaughn is staring at our bench, just tearing up a storm, laughing, and giving the middle finger to us on the bench. And there's a couple of us trying to keep a straight face, and there's a couple of us that are just the guys that sit in between in the middle of the benches, the fourth line guys and the fifth and sixth defensemen. We're sort of nudging each other and we're like, can you believe this? Vaughn's giving Hitch the finger.
I only saw two guys.
In Tampa, I skated out and I'm a golf nut and I saw Lee Jansen sitting right on the first row and I smashed my stick on the glass. I'm like, Janner! And everybody was like, who's that guy? I'm like, that's Lee Jansen, man. And didn't register with anybody. They're like, you need to really...
Lee Jansen. He won a U.S. Open.
He did.
Nobody would recognize him.
And second one was nobody. I skated out in L.A. and I zipped around twice and I saw Patty Sajak right on the glass I smashed my stick on the glass. I said, Patty! And guys are just like, come on, you got to act like you've been there before. I'm like, it's Pat Sajak, man. I'm like, what, is Pat Sajak's like a... Is he C-list? What is he in L.A.?
That's a great question, man. He's not high, man. He's not anywhere close to the A-list.
Dude, in L.A.? No way.
Not even close.
Listen, I think he's a solid B, but has been there for 30 years.
Yeah.
And if you haven't, follow him on Twitter. He is hilarious. Like, he is a really, sharp, funny.
I think we guess Patty Sage. A strong B minus.
I think somewhere between C plus and a B.
You think he's a C list celebrity? Like that
Noodles,
guy was.
He hosts a game show for half an hour at 6:30.
I know, but he's done it for 100 years. Him and Bob Barker. I'm telling you, Bob Barker. That guy, I mean, he was in Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore. Yeah, Bill Barker. Yeah, Bob Barker was. Alex Trebek. Like, I'm not disputing their Hollywood status. I'm just saying you can't compare it to, it's nowhere close to like the Caprio or any of the big guys.
No, but those are A-list celebrities.
I would say B would be like the star of shows. You know, who's the host of Survivor? That guy would be like a B-list now. Sajak is...
Ryan Seacrest? Do you think...
Seacrest
is
higher
than Sajak. Headband that does Survivor that
no
I have
way
to look at my wife's iPad all the
that
time?
That show's way bigger than the Wheel
no
of
way
Fortune. It's
Pat Sajak. Pat Sajak, I'm telling you right now,
you're
we need a
fraud
poll. He is one of the most famous celebrities because of the longevity. Everyone knows Wheel of... Him and Vanna White are probably one of the most successful on-air teams, you would call it.
I'm with
because
you,
everyone knows Wheel of Fortune.
Yes, they
Fortune
know it. They know Wheel of Fortune.
But I'm a wheel watcher.
Everyone knows Survivor. Survivor's way more popular in terms of total audience.
I don't know if I've ever watched a full... I've never watched, other than season one, I don't know if I've ever watched a full episode of Survivor.
But it's not close. It, it, the audience is not close. I mean, Survivor's still like the biggest show on TV or close
to it. Yeah, I guess
it's
still going. But I think Wheel
Sajak's of just, you know, sitting there doing the same shtick for 30 years.
Isn't Sajak a Capitals fan? Wasn't he part of the Capitals run to the Stanley Cup?
He might have
got season tickets.
I think you're right. He might be a D.C. guy that lives in L.A. and jumped on both bandwagons.
Yeah, I think he did. He did like the... You know, like how each team has their own like intro. Like Vegas has got the crank, and what are some other teams that got
Carolina's got the engine. They got the engine.
I think Zajac was on the mic at one of the old Washington Capitals playoff
I'm
games.
I'm telling you, we got. I know he's an older guy. He might be 75 type of. We got to see if we can get him on the show.
I'm with you on that. I would say Vanna White's more popular or more well known. Like a well-known name than Pat Sajak. It's close.
Know.
But Vanna White, like Vanna White in the 80s was absolutely the go-to. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was outrageous. And what a career the two of them have had.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, we'll see. We'll try to put that into perspective by 7 p.m. Maybe, Carlo, you and AK can figure it out tomorrow where Pat Sajak ranks in Hollywood. But Mitch Marner, in terms of where he ranks in the record books, he's put himself up there with Sittler and Eddie O last night, snuck in an empty netter late. I felt great for him. I felt great for the fans. I said this earlier, Carlo. It was a lot like Matthews scoring 50 last year. And Matthews' 50th was an empty netter against Winnipeg. And I'm sure people in the building last night were on the edge of their seat, knowing that history was on the line, and just an incredible run this guy's on right now.
It really is. I mean, when you think about it, he's played 25 games this season. He has 29 points, and only one game this season he hasn't registered a point. Like, that's pretty amazing in today's game, and especially doing it in 18 games in a row. I know we had O on my show early on this week, and I don't think he could remember how many games he went in his career with recording a point. I know for me, I remember because I didn't score many points, but I had a 7-game point streak in my career, and it felt like, you know, on those nights, everything was just going to happen the way that it did. But with nowadays, you know, with parity in the league and the travel schedules and stuff like that, to be able to perform the way he's performing on a nightly basis, it's truly special. And you know, watching the game last night, as boring as it was, I'm glad that, you know, it finished as exciting as it did, because that's what people were tuning in for, right? You know, to watch him continue the streak. And I mean, you guys would probably feel the same way. They've had an amazing month in November again, and kudos to them, because, you know, we all felt different the way they started the season. But this team is, regardless of what type of regular season they have, they're going to be judged in the playoffs. And I think the fact that they're giving us something exciting to follow, like last year, same thing. You know, the season didn't really have, you know, much of a storyline except for Auston Matthews, you know, the Hart Trophy, the Rocket Richard Trophy, two guys maybe getting 100 points. So they created their own storylines. And I think what Mitch Marner is doing right now, considering, you know, there really isn't much to be celebrated through the season, it's absolutely so much fun to follow, you know, outside from playing the game.
I agree. I think, you know, Coco, you make a good point, because, you know, Hayes, I think you said it yesterday or the day before, like, what you call it, meaningful hockey. I mean, every night it's meaningful as far as standings, all of that stuff. But when you're tuning in November and it's entertaining, like, if you're not just a traditional fan, you've got skin in the game and going, hey, this is, you know, this guy's got a streak going, or this team's got they're playing well. Like, you know, I still think it's a crazy season. I think there's so much, like, so many weird things that are happening. Mm-hmm. But it's this Leaf team at the start of the season. There was a lot of, I don't know what the word, but you guys can fill in the blanks.
Doubt.
Like disappointment, doubt, you know, apathy, all of these things where the fans were like kind of pissed. And now that's kind of changed. Now, we'll see. It's long season. Yes, they're going to be judged on their body of work in the postseason. But that doesn't mean you don't sit there not interested and invested.
That's where
like wake me up in April. You know, you can't
exactly.
do that.
No, and I'm using my own barometer here, where like last night is an example. Like, it's midweek. against San Jose. I've been struggling this week. I mean, that's a game where you might be like, I'll tape it or I'll check in. I was genuinely jacked to watch the game, and a lot of it was because of Marner, but also Samsonov coming back and the way the goaltenders have played. Like, that was the story of the offseason, was what they did net, and will these goalies hold up? Well, as of now, they are more than just doing that. When they're healthy, they both had their stints not playing due to health, but when they've been available, Samsonov's been outstanding, Murray's been outstanding, and Marner going for 18, like, it is the same vibe as, like, last year, Matthews shooting for 50 and then 55 and 60. And, you know, we'll see what happens here with Mitch and how long it can continue. But that's the kind of stuff that you can't predict. But when it happens, and if your own barometer is saying, man, I'm looking forward to the game tonight, that's all you can ask for, right? Like, as just a hockey fan getting through a season, that's a long year. And that's what the Leafs have managed to do here.
You don't want to take away from the importance of the season, because I think that's what maybe the team, the way they started, they were bored to start the season. And maybe this month of November and the adversity that they're going through and the fact that Marner's on a streak, like, that celebration in the room afterwards that went viral, like, that basically explains everything you need to know about how this team feels about him and this streak that he's on, right? I mean, there was a massive celebration, and you can't take the regular season for granted. I mean, just look at the standings. You've got two new teams right now. You got New Jersey, and you've got Detroit, and you got the Islanders that weren't playoff teams last year, right? Yeah. So if you take the regular season for granted, there's three teams right now that were playoff teams that are not in the playoffs. So, you know, credit to the Maple Leafs, too, for finding a way to bounce back in the month of November again and using this adversity that they're dealing with the injuries and this Mitch Marner streak that is rallying the group right now, because they're making it fun to watch them right now.
Coco, you played defense for a long time in the six-man, whichever guys are going out there on the D-core. It's a tight-knit group. Have you ever experienced the awkwardness of having key guys out and other guys come up, and the six guys that are going out there, the team's having a bunch of success, and once guys get healthy, it gets a little bit weird because you're winning and it's like there's not much wrong here, but things are about to go wrong?
Yeah, I've experienced it many times throughout my career. And to be honest with you, when you're one of those guys that is filling in, I think it actually becomes an easier job for the coach because you're not really worried about matchups. You're basically saying, okay, this is our group. Let's put some trust in them and let's just see what they can do. And I think that's what you're seeing. Obviously, you know, with the way Giordano has elevated his game, this is a guy throughout his whole career has been used to being and playing in these spots and in these situations. And since coming here, he's had to settle into a lesser role, and now he's getting a chance to show he's still capable of playing that role. Even for young players, you know, you're coming in, and there's really not much expected from you other than just, hey, go out and play the game, go out and show us you're an NHL player, and just keep it simple. And, you know, sometimes that's just the easiest way to play defense, is just to keep it simple. And I think Mac Hollowell is the perfect example of that. And, you know, when I look at his game, I didn't really know much of this kid because I haven't seen him play much, but he's impressed me a lot with his skating ability and his puck-moving ability and the fact that he just plays a quiet game. Like, he doesn't stand out and try to do too much. He just keeps it simple. And I think a big factor to that is, you know, you're getting good goaltending, so that always helps too, and you've got a depleted defense, knowing that you can trust your goaltender to give you saves, and they're playing with the lead too on most nights. So that helps, and it's almost like, you know, there's more of a looseness around the group, with even in practice and stuff, because, you know, again, the expectation isn't there for them, but the pride for the guys to play is to show that they deserve to be there and belong. So I think that's why you're seeing the Maple Leafs on defense at least play as good as they're playing.
Coco, what do you think of Gio's game? I've been raving about it, just, you know, I mean, they've needed stability back there. They've needed, you know, a voice, a leader, all of that type of stuff. Like, you know, what are you seeing from him?
Well, I mean, basically, as a 39-year-old, he doesn't play his age. And I think that's the most important thing, is he's not a guy you look at and say, oh, he looks like a 39-year-old there. And, you know, again, just from what I said earlier, the fact that he's a guy that you know, at age, I think 36, he won the Norris Trophy, right? So not too far, you know, from that age. And if he feels like he's got a lot left in the tank, which he's clearly showing, I mean, you're talking about a team that has to fill the void of Jake Muzzin, right? Because Morgan Riley's coming back, TJ Brody's coming back. I don't believe Jake Muzzin's going to come back this year. I mean, that still remains to be seen. But, you know, the big question is, how are you going to fill his void? Well, everything you're seeing out of Mark Giordano right now, wouldn't that be the best option internally to just let him fill in and take over Jake Muzzin's role in this team? I mean, he's fit in nicely with Justin Hall, who they clearly want to continue to play as much as they're playing. And he's a guy that just knows how to play the game, Noodles. Like, I mean, yeah. Sometimes that's you know, the older you get, the easier the game gets for you because you think your way out there. And I think that's what I sort of value out of Gio's game is that he's always in the right spot. He's always making the right plays. He still likes to mix it up. And he's a guy that's not afraid to stand up for his teammates. So check all the boxes for him. I've been super impressed with what he's brought since he's come here and even more impressed with what he's done in the time that the team's needing him the most.
With Carlo Colaiacovo, put yourself in the skates of Jack Johnson last night where McDavid picks up the puck, high circle in his end.
He tried to cross-check him in the head, dude. Did you see that?
On your pads where you want an underpants cam.
That's where you need the cam. Because, yeah. That, I mean, Carlo, you were a left shot, left playing defenseman. I mean,
yeah.
What are you supposed to do if McDavid's flying through the neutral zone? What
Honestly,
can you possibly do?
I'm so glad that, you know, I'm not in the game playing with a guy that's that fast and can make you look that bad. Because it's tough, man. I mean, what do? Do you slide on the ice and just go, you know, full, you know, NHL 94 and try to block the shot? Or, you know, you just turn around and try to skate with him forward? I mean, there's not really much you can do when you got that guy coming with that much speed. You just got to hope you don't end up on the highlight reel after the game is over or after, you know, the play that he makes.
Well, he did.
You know, it reminds me, do you guys remember in the outdoor game, it was Colorado versus Vegas, and I think it was in famous vacation spot.
It was in Tahoe. Lake Tahoe,
yes.
Yeah.
And there was an audio clip of Alex Pietrangelo doing the same thing. He was trying to gap up in the neutral zone, and it was Nathan MacKinnon picking up speed, and you hear the mic from Petro. He's like, oh, boy. Like, this is Alex Pietrangelo, like one of the best defensemen in the league, saying, oh, boy. And MacKinnon literally blew by him and buried it. And so you can be the best defenseman in the game. You can be, you know, an average defenseman in the game. You got no shot.
No shot.
When McDavid's coming down on you like that.
I thought it was funny, though, if you watch the replay again. He got his stick up, like it was almost like he tried to cross-check him in the head. Like he was like, to hell with this. Like, I'm going to... And McDavid ducked underneath him and kept going.
Incredible. Well, because Johnson was worried that he was going to cut to the middle of the ice. So he starts crossing over into the middle. And then
he was worried about everything. It was a mess.
Literally,
well, it's funny you guys bring that up because I remember when Chris Pronger was on your show and he was talking about, you know, the guys doing the Michigan goal. And what he would do if he ever saw somebody do that to him. What do you think a guy like Chris Pronger would do if he saw a guy like McDavid winding up to come down on him one-on-one?
Different rules.
His era? Yeah, I can tell you.
You know what I mean? What era? Like in the late 90s when I played with Prongs? Like
I don't think it mattered what era, because he'd find a way to make sure you never do it again.
Well, it's a all I think about with Chris is it's always a perfectly placed chop on the wrist. You know that gap between the glove and the elbow pad? Guys wear pads now, right? But there's still sometimes you can see skin. I don't know how many times I would see Prongs like hand out a little chop into that wrist area, and a guy's glove would drop off. He'd be shaking his hand and yelling at the ref, and Prongs would say, smarten up. Like he would say to the guy, smarten up. You want to be a hero out here, that's what you're going
to
get.
I used to love the old veteran D-man where they choked up on their stick like a foot and they would stick it in your gut and ride you along the boards. And
the butt end?
Oh, yeah. How is this not interference or holding? And then they would drive you into the boards and slew foot you, and then it's like there's no penalty.
Yeah.
Outrageous behavior back there.
Yep. Yeah, old school. Well, we'll see. Quickly, before we let you go, you think your Bills can win tonight? Can they cover?
I'm nervous, man. I'm nervous about this game tonight. The Bills have looked very shaky as of late. They go into to New England, where I got to say the Bills the last 2 years with Josh Allen have had some great success in New England against Belichick. I like the adversity they're dealing with right now and they're playing through, but I'm nervous about this game.
Yeah,
tonight.
It'll be a tough one tonight. All right, buddy. We'll hear you break it all down tomorrow starting at 6. Thank you for doing this.
Anytime, boys.
There's Carlo Quagliacovo, first up, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on TSN Radio. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. More on McDavid and Jack Johnson and the Leafs a little bit later this afternoon. Raptors with a tough loss last night there in Brooklyn on Friday. But Steve Tasker's coming up, former Bill. He's an analyst down there in Buffalo. What are we looking at? Bills, Pats in New England tonight. We'll break it down next.